Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
It's OMF on EEI.
All right, back here on OMF, Bill Belichick will join us in about 10 or 15 minutes from now. We've been talking about this disaster yesterday against the Denver Broncos. Could have been a lot worse because the Patriots defense limited Denver's offense to just getting three with the field goal. We've talked about all of the talent problems they have. So I'll start with you, Christian.
Oh.
How do you fix this Patriot offense? What do you do now? How do you fix it?
I don't really. There's not a lot of layers to this offense. I'll start with that. So there's only so much you can do. So, and I hate to sound like a coach, I feel like if you have one move, like of some of these, Mortal Kombat games, I used to have one move and I would always go to it. I sucked at everything else, but if I could find a way to sneak in my move, I would win. You just really have to get better at what you do. What is your strength? Well, your strength used to be your offensive line. It isn't anymore. It isn't.
So there goes your running game.
But
at 41 yards from the running back.
And it's real obvious. It's eye back. It's two tight ends. Oh, it's not hard to figure out what you're doing. Every now and then they dress it up with some motion or back or something like that. But ultimately, it's pretty vanilla. So I would say the best thing you could do is hopefully your offensive line gets back. That's it. That is your own. That is it. You're going to be better at pass protection. You're going to be better at your play development. But ultimately, I don't see many layers. What is or Asiasi? Get these young tight ends. Force the issue. I can tell you, it's a better option than N'Keal Harry. If you're going to take N'Keal Harry's reps or opportunities, call them opportunities away. Don't give him to Zuber. Give him to Asiasi. Burn one of those opportunities there.
There's a reason he's not out there.
And I saw it on the very first play. The guy is, at this point in time in his career, I don't want to call him dumb, but at this point in time, he's not very smart.
Who?
Asiasi.
Well, yeah.
I'm not calling him dumb, but right now, as a rookie, he's a dumb rookie. He's a dumb rookie, which is kind of like an affectionate way of saying, I like you, and I think you're going to be good, but right now, you're stupid.
See, that's the hard part, because you look at it and say, okay, for now... Okay, you're trying to look for answers internally, right? Internally. What are the answers? So, and it's not like you could sit there, in baseball, it's like, our staff's so bad, let's give the kid Hulk a chance, even though we don't think he's ready, right? And then you show up, and you're like, damn, okay. But you start doing that with, Asiasi. If I sat there and said, target N'Keal Harry 10 times, for me, it sounds good. Start throwing the ball to Asiasi. But, I don't know, if targeting the ball to... 10 times to N'Keal Harry turns into 3 or 4 interceptions, and that's not going to work. They've already got their answers. There's a reason why they're not throwing him the football. There's a reason why Asiasi isn't in the game. What happened to Jacoby Myers? By the way, what happened to the best wide receiver in camp, Gunnar Olszewski? Remember the reports coming out of camp? How much work he put in and the improvement he showed, and nobody's more improved than Gunner running
practice,
routes. And
not a game.
Practice. So, it's like, well, what was all that? Like, why are people watching camp if that's their observation and they come out and this kid can't even get in the field?
Lou, how many combined targets do Gunner and Myers have this year?
Zero.
Two. They have two combined targets.
Two combined targets. Olszewski's. Are you counting the one that Olszewski caught when it was off the hands of Edelman?
That one doesn't count. He actually has a legitimate target this year.
So
a target.
We all agree that there's not much you can really do unless the guys that you're doing it with get better. And we're all sitting here saying the reason that they're not throwing the ball to Harry is because there's an issue there.
It's got to be a good reason.
They have
reason.
No confidence in him. Right. They have no confidence. Asiasi's not even getting on the field. Lack of confidence. So why would you suddenly throw these guys out if you've got no confidence, Christian, and suddenly say, okay, we're going to throw them to the Wolves. Let's experiment and see if we can make this work.
Don't
is
you
that
think,
what we're talking about?
Yeah, don't you think that they sacrifice big plays and maybe other opportunities in an attempt to be really clean, to keep a real clean game, no penalties, no turnovers? Don't you think if you were to ask them, hey, you have two things. You can have one guy, a big impact play. He's going to get you some big chunk plays, but he's also going to screw up every now and then. I can't tell you when that's going to happen. Or you can have a boring, clean version, the guy that's not really dramatic and can't really give you chunk plays, but he's reliable.
That's
and you can
doing.
Chip away at it. I feel like that's where they lean.
They lean toward it.
When do they throw the ball down the field?
No, they don't. Bird, every once in a while, they'll throw a deep pass.
Yeah, but the comebacks, count to me as throwing the ball down the field. How about a post? Anybody run a post? Does anybody know how to run a seam route? How about just a straight go? My God, please give me Josh Gordon. Slants and goes.
I told you the big plays are when everything breaks down and Cam uses his legs to give you 38 yards. Those are your big plays right now. How can you continue to do that, though? Is that what your big play game is going to be? Good luck.
You don't know. You can't anticipate that. It just happens. So
that's right.
Good luck calling it. Okay, so I'm going to call this play. But I really hope Cam just scrambles. Okay.
Yeah.
What do you say in the huddle? Okay, guys, we're going to go right on three. I'm going to scramble around. I don't know when though. Just kind of do something. It's like backyard football. Okay. Just what do you want me to do? Just go deep.
Cam, if you see man coverage, take off. Because our guys can't get free.
Oh,
is that where we're at?
Yeah. It feels like it. When in doubt. You know, just Cam, hey, which is a really critical burden for Cam. Hey, Cam, if it doesn't work, we hope that you make a play. Can you save us?
So, you know, you're talking about, like, getting these guys the ball. I just saw this tweet. This guy, Sam Hoppin, covering the 49ers. Last night, every single one of Deebo Samuel's six targets came from behind the line of scrimmage.
Yes.
For an average of minus 5.3 yards in the air per target. He turned that into 66 total yards. Every single pass he took was that quick throw and just put the ball in his hands.
That was their home game plan last
night.
And
just let this guy do what he does.
Yeah. Jimmy G
was throwing the ball with?
Behind the line of scrimmage.
Are we supposed to do that with N'Keal Harry? Do you do that with N'Keal and just give him the ball and see what he can do?
Like, I did last year.
Well, you can't. You know, what are we doing?
They did it last year. All he did was design runs, quick little throws. Man, I would put him in the backfield. I would use him similar to what you saw James White do on the second to last play of the game.
What they did with Patterson when they had him in?
Yes, I would do similar. Yeah. I wouldn't use him as a tailback because, God forbid, you give him the ball between the guards, he's going to fumble it.
Is this the type of player that Harry is, though? Put the ball in his hands and watch how fast he is? Does he look like that guy?
I would say do
that with Zuber, for Christ's sakes.
But Zuber,
before
all
I did
his,
it with him.
But Zuber's plays are, there's no misdirection. He'd either do a fly sweep where he's just literally running and then running. He's not changing course. Even yesterday, it was a shallow cross right to left. Just run, dude. That's it. I mean, it's brainless
stuff. At least he's doing something, Christian.
But again, that's my issue, Glenn. Why doesn't that go to N'Keal Harry? Why can't he do the fly sweep? Why is Zuber getting his play?
Because he's faster.
I would say, take speed out of it. N'Keal Harry is a physical dominant runner with the ball in his hands. I'll take that guy over the speedster. He did it last year. That tells me that somehow Zuber has earned more opportunities than you. How did that happen?
That's scary.
How did it happen?
That's scary. Because you look at Harry and
you go to him in a desperate situation.
Because we talk about Cam Newton not being the most accurate passer. So wouldn't N'Keal Harry be the perfect receiver for him? He's got that big catch range, and you can throw it to him in the area, and he can go chase it, right? We've seen the fade route in the end zone that they throw. Why aren't we seeing more of that? That seems to work. There's got to be a fear, Christian. You tell me.
No.
There's got to be a fear that they don't trust him, that he's going to run the right route.
That's why Asiasi isn't playing. That's why Dalton Keene is a healthy scratch. I can't use him. Well, then why do we suit him up? I don't trust him to put him in there. So don't bother even suiting him up. I got to wait to see. Either somebody else has to really screw up badly, which is what I consider them thinking of Izzo now. He screwed up royally, even though. But that shows that they're looking for an opportunity to put Asiasi in there. But
But Ryan Izzo hasn't screwed up, you know, really bad where they can validate it. So you can't just pull him out. He's not the reason why you're losing. He's doing everything you're asking him to do, but there's no flair to it. There's no substance to it. It's just kind of there. Asiasi has got to give you that next level. But he's not going to get in until he buys himself some time, some goodwill equity, call it, and then Izzo screws up. So I feel like he's got both. So I think Asiasi gets the majority of the reps next week.
Hopefully.
I do. I think he'll get the majority of the reps. I think they'll target him.
Because what you're seeing right now is just isn't, we all agree, like isn't good enough.
No.
Right? No. I mean, they need to find something else.
The 49ers are getting healthy. They looked a lot better last night. Jimmy G had a good night, mostly throwing in the backfield, as you had pointed out. But he had a really good night, and they looked a lot better. They have to, mm-hmm. you know, fly east now, so that's a little bit more difficult. But no, you're going to have to be a lot better against the 49ers next week.
Yeah.
There's no question about that. All right, Bill Belichick scheduled to join us coming up right after we take this break on OMF.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
Time for our Monday get-together here on Patriots Monday with Bill Belichick. The coach is being brought to you by Mass General Cancer Center, Everyday Amazing, by Northeast Men's Health, the experts in men's sexual health, by the Mercedes-Benz Certified Pre-Owned Sales Event. It's going on now through the November the 2nd, and by Arbella Insurance. And joining us live on the Harbor One Hotline right now is Bill Belichick. Good afternoon, Bill.
Hi, Glenn. How are we doing? Carson, Lou.
Hey, Bill.
Good. We're doing fine. Strange week again for your camp. You've talked in the past, Bill, about how you win games sometimes Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday. And I'm wondering, with everything you were limited with, and then the uncertainty if other guys were going to be placed on the COVID list, and they were, did that limit what you could install for this game?
I don't think it limited what we could install. It definitely limited what we could practice. So we didn't really get a lot of reps on, didn't get very many reps on the things that we practiced. I mean, I guess that could have limited the installation a little bit, but I think we had enough. I think we had enough things in there. We just didn't get to work on, and obviously our execution was, you know, lacking in all areas. So.
Was that one of the biggest issues after watching the film? Just how the little things affected the game so much, stuff that you normally would have been able to practice, and then coming up in a game, was that something that you guys identified as being a problem?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know what caused what, but we need to, obviously, we need to coach better and play better and just got to do a better job.
Yeah, I was asking because I just, you know, I'm just looking at the very last play of the game, Coach, the pass to N'Keal Harry. It seemed like somebody was either N'Keal Harry should have went out or, you know, Cam should have thrown it in. Not really sure what the play was called. But I have a feeling, is that kind of an example of, hey, if we were able to rep this multiple times, maybe we'd have a better chance of actually completing that play?
I'm sure more practice time would help the execution of any play.
Hey, Coach, you guys obviously been through a lot the last couple of weeks. You had Ferentz on Friday, three more Sunday morning. I think a lot of the Patriot fans were, you know, wondering if we were going to see this game on Sunday or not. But are you guys at the point where you're getting more comfortable, more knowledge about the virus, the contagious of how it can go through a team? You're getting more comfortable as a team, given what you've been through, to kind of play through it and be able to step on that field on Sunday?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I guess so.
Well, let me ask you what a lot of people are talking about here today. And you basically said after the game that you did it because you thought it was best. But are you willing to share what your thought process was for going for the two-point conversion after the Cam touchdown?
Convert it and make it a seven-point game?
So often it seems that a lot of times you go for the one and then you go for the two-point conversion and the 8 points and the next touchdown. But you did it this way. Was there something, did you have a play that you just loved, you thought was going to work at that time? Because you've said that in the past. If you've got a play, sometimes you do stuff that might be a little bit different.
Yeah, I mean, of course we thought the play would work. That's why we called it. But it didn't, so.
I guess my question is, referring to the same play, Coach, because it was, now listen, I'm not a coach, and I'm just some ex-dope who used to play the sport, so making these decisions are completely out of my pay grade. Because I guess it all comes down to strategy. Okay, it was because it was 18-9, and you said, okay, you want to get it to within 7 points, and it's a one-score game. But if you miss it, then it's two possessions. Did the timing of when you guys had the opportunity to go for it have a lot to do with your decision to go for 2 points at that point in time as opposed to actually kicking the extra point?
Oh, yeah, I mean, there's plenty of time in the game. I mean, we needed two scores, and certainly it's plenty of time for us to get two scores. I thought we were going to have two more possessions, so... You know, we need to stop them to get those possessions. But, you know, I think it just declared the game. And, you know, ultimately we had a chance. And that's really, you know, I think what you're hoping for at that point is you have a chance to, you know, to win the game. And we had a chance to do that. We just couldn't get it done. Same thing as the Seattle game. You know, we had enough time. We had enough opportunity. We just couldn't get it done.
You know, I know a lot of coaches have the little silly cards, like when to go for it for 2 points. I saw, I think Rich Gannon was actually showing his on TV one day. Is that something that you utilize, or is it just always how you feel about how your team is actually playing and, I guess, the emotion and the energy of the game? Like, is that part of it also? Like, what you think your team is capable at that time?
Yeah, I'd say a game situation always, you know, goes into the decision, definitely. But, you know, we have our general strategy. There's some things that are pretty clear-cut. There's others that are, you know, gray and could go either way. So it would depend on the situation and on those ones that really, you know, you could do it either way. You know, there's a reason to do it one way or another, and that's why you would pick one over the other.
Coach, I don't know if you had a chance to look at that James White run again in the fourth quarter. If you did, it's one of those where you wish you'd thrown that flag, or what was the thought process during that one?
Yeah, well, you only get two challenges, so you can't challenge every play. So, and there's five plays you could challenge in every game. You got to pick out the ones you think are give you the best. Like the touchdown on the quarterback sneak.
Mm-hmm.
We thought that was a touchdown, so we challenged it. But you know, you can't challenge five plays in every game. So just that's the way it is.
So, Bill, you've been dealing with injuries with the offensive line, and I know you like guys to be versatile and be able to play different positions. But what was it like in the course of the game to kind of flip everybody around, especially when Illuminor got injured? Guys were playing multiple different positions.
Yeah, well, it's definitely not the ideal situation. But, you know, I thought all things considered, those guys hung in there and, you know, did a play competitively, but you know, hopefully we can get more consistency and play better here going forward.
Coach, is wondering the wide receiver tight end position right now, just that lack of production, is that kind of affecting how you can play calling, moving the ball down the field?
I mean, overall, we need more production offensively, period. You know, they have 14 first downs. And I think we probably had more production out of the tight end position in this game than we've had all year.
Is that a problem? Because we're just – listen, not everybody's Rob Gronkowski. So you had the best tight end in football maybe of ever. But and obviously you use that. But that lack of production that you're getting, as you mentioned, maybe this game is the best. But like a guy like Devin Asiasi, is he – I saw him getting that game there today. Is he kind of progressing, or is he a situation where a young kid kind of missed – camp, OTAs, and kind of put him behind the eight ball?
Well, I think all of our young players are getting better, and you know, we'll take it game by game, week by week, and see how it goes. I don't know.
So, in the game, so it seemed like Denver obviously was moving the ball decently between the 20s, but inside the 20, red zone, fringe defense. You guys, your defense played really well, really limiting didn't give up a touchdown with all the opportunities they have. Why? What does it say about your defense when they could, you know, play so well in such a critical time of the game? What does it say about your defense, or why do they play so well inside the 20 as opposed to between the 20s?
Well, I mean, it's a little bit harder down there for the offense. They just have less space to work in, but, you know, we always spend a lot of time on that. That's an important part of the game for us, and, you know, our players generally do a good job of preparing down there, and, you know, we're able to, you know, make some key stops. But, you know, we had our opportunities when we had good field position. We weren't able to hold it and get the ball back for our offense and put them in better setup, and so we got to – you know, there's certainly room for improvement there all the way around. We just got to do a better job in all three areas. Could have had better field position in the kicking game. Certainly could have kept better field position defensively and could have had more production offensively. So it's just really not good enough in any area.
Were they pretty effective in third down situations? Because it seemed like there were a lot of big third downs for Denver. And you're right. Unfortunately, they were in an area where McManus still could get them 3 points, but they didn't get seven out of it.
Yeah, well, that's why we had a chance to, you know, had a chance to win the game on the last drive. We just got to do a better job of, you know, converting those scoring opportunities.
Coach, you brought in Phillips, and obviously.
Well enough in the fringe area when we had the ball down there. You know, we were close to field goal range and had a couple of negative plays in there. And so, you know, it wasn't just the last drive. We had other opportunities where we were on their side of the field and, you know, could have come out with more points than we did.
Well, Coach, I was asking about Adrian Phillips. I mean, obviously you brought him in. There's a lot that you liked about him just because you brought him in. But has he even exceeded your expectations?
Adrian's done a nice job in things that we've asked him to do. He has a very instinctive player, and he's handled some responsibilities that are probably a little bit different than what he did, you know, with the Chargers. But you know, he's a smart kid that works hard, has played a lot of football, and you know, has a good feel, knows how to play, and you know, was productive again for us yesterday. He's a good tackler, and I said he didn't stink when he finds the ball. So, you know, glad we have him, and hopefully he'll, you know, continue to be productive for us.
So I know we kept harping on this quarterback competition, and I feel like we had the wrong guys that we were arguing about, guys. And I think it was it really should have been Cam Newton and Julian Edelman. Julian Edelman with another two passes completed yesterday. Man, a lot can go wrong on those plays, Coach. And we talk about, you know, not being able to practice and maybe you didn't rep them. Was that were those plays that you guys had in your back pocket for a while? And if so, were you guys also able to rep those before the game at all during the week?
Well, on a limited basis, yeah. I mean, I'm sure you've seen both of those plays before, so you know, we've had some experience with them. But you know, Josh made really good calls on both of them. They helped put us in scoring position, and as I said, we just gotta take better advantage of those opportunities when we get them.
You're going to play the San Francisco 49ers this week. You know an awful lot about Jimmy Garoppolo, and I'm wondering what your take is on Garoppolo and how he has developed out there. They throw a lot of passes behind the line of scrimmage, and they get a lot of yardage after the catch. But what is Jimmy doing now that maybe you didn't see before?
Well, I mean, Jimmy's a good quarterback. Took him to the NFC Championship last year, won the NFC Championship. So, you know, I think he's certainly been able to, you know, have a high level of achievement, accomplishment out there. They signed him to a contract that, you know, showed they have confidence in him as their quarterback. So, I don't think any of that's all that surprising. You know, I think we all know Jimmy's a good player.
Well, I'd say you guys got your hands full this week with that offense between the guys that they have, between Kittle and Samuel, Jimmy, and the running game that they have. A team that you don't know great. What's the biggest thing for you guys to work on this week?
Yeah, well, they do of course, Kyle does a real good job game planning and causing problems for the defense. So, you know, we'll just have to be sound across the board. As you pointed out, there's no one guy you can stop, and they have a lot of good players, good receivers, good tight end, good running backs, good quarterback, good offensive line, good tackles there with Williams and McGlinchey. So, you know, and they're very good on defense, very fast and aggressive defense. That doesn't give up a lot of big plays. Guys fly to the ball, tackle well. So, you know, it's a good football team. I mean, you don't win the NFC without a good one. So, they proved that last year, and they're well coached. So, I'm sure it'll be, you know, we'll have to play well in all three phases to be competitive with them. We know that. So, that's what we're going to gear up to do this week, and be ready to go on Sunday afternoon.
Be nice to have some practices this week, I take it.
All right, so now it's time for the Mercedes question of the week. The Mercedes-Benz certified pre-owned sales event going on now through November 2nd. Visit mbusa.com or your local authorized Mercedes-Benz dealer for available inventory and limited time offers. Coach, we saw our first, I got our first chance to have Tuesday night football. I'm curious if there's any chance that you think Tuesday night would be a better place for a game instead of Thursday or Monday. I think it's better place on a Tuesday.
Tuesday to Sunday is definitely better than Sunday to Thursday in terms of, you know, giving players time to, you know, recover and prepare for the game. But I mean, in the end, Pierce and all that's really over my head. I'm just kind of worried about trying to help coach our team and prepare them for San Francisco and get ready to go. And we'll let the leave the scheduling to all the experts So when they schedule them, we'll be there and play them.
I'm sure you will.
On to the 49ers. The conversation with the coach is brought to you by Putnam Investments. Putnam Investments and the New England Patriots, proud partners, committed to an active game plan on the field and off. Bill, we'll talk to you next Monday. Have a good one.
All right. Sounds good. Thank you.
All right, Coach.
There you go, Bill Belichick.
He always sounds so much happier when he hangs up.
Oh, my God. After the Mercedes-Benz question, he's like, oh, sweet. Hey, guys, have a great week. You guys, hey, Lou, you were great, buddy.
Yeah, I know.
Hey, Glenn, hey, way to carry the interview.
All right, we'll pick it up on the other side and talk about it coming up next.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medella is your reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
Take it from Julian Edelman.
Tough times don't last, tough people do.
As New Englanders continue to persevere through an unprecedented pandemic, we have the Patriots ready to serve as a welcome distraction.
A leaping two-headed touchdown reception. Julian Edelman and New England has taken the lead.
Every Patriots Friday on the Greg Hill Show. Catch Julian Edelman on the exclusive home for Patriots fans, EEI.
It's deck building month. It's work and play month. It's the month to get things done with the Silverado 1500, the strongest, most advanced Silverado ever. And the Silverado HD, the strongest, most capable Silverado HD ever. It's Explore New Ground month with the Colorado ZR2, named the best off-roader by Popular Mechanics. And Room for Everyone month in the versatile and advanced Tahoe and Suburban, America's best-selling family of full-size SUVs. So whether you need a pickup truck or full-size SUV, Chevy has the right truck for you. It's Chevy Truck Month. Get $4,500 cash allowance on all 2020 Silverado 1500 Crew Cab pickups. Plus, now during Truck Month, get a $1,000 accessory allowance towards the purchase of eligible accessories on the dependable Silverado 1500. Hurry in for exciting offers at your New England Chevy dealer. Accessory purchase must be equal to or more than $1,000 at MSRP. Take new retail delivery by 11-220. Call 888-59-CHEVY for offer details.
At Cordell & Cordell, we focus on representing men in domestic relations cases.
Attorney CPA Joe Cordell.
We recognize that our clients are going through perhaps the toughest time they will ever go through. We understand that everything that's important to them is on the table. Their assets, the role in their children's lives. That's an immense responsibility that our clients entrust us with, and we take that very seriously. We've been trained to do that. We've helped thousands of clients before, and it's our hope that you'll choose to entrust us with what's most important to you.
The attorneys at Cordell & Cordell work to help men maximize their role in their children's lives, which includes protecting men's financial means to do so. Contact the domestic litigation firm of Cordell & Cordell to schedule an appointment with one of our firm's Boston area attorneys, a partner men can count on. 857-242-0000. That's 857-242-ALL-ZEROS. Online at CordellCordell.com. That's CordellCordell.com. Offices in downtown Boston and Bedford.
Paint the walls, paint the halls. We can help you do it all. Arch Painting.
Hi, it's Joe Giacalone, owner of Arch Painting, and we've just made it even easier to get your free painting estimate. Introducing the Arch Painting mobile app. No more calling contractors, leaving messages, trying to schedule an appointment, and wasting time waiting at home. The Arch Painting app lets you submit an estimate request on your time and without anyone going to your home. Just download the app, take a few pics, submit your project, and get your free estimate within 48 hours. So if you ever wondered how much it would cost to paint your home, download the brand new Arch Painting mobile app and give it a try. It's 100% free and super easy. Plus, you save a ton of time and hassle. So what are you waiting for? Someone to go to your house? No, no. Download our free app, take a few pics, and get a quote. It's that easy.
Arch Painting, your vision brought to life.
At Fisher Investments, we do things differently. And other money managers don't understand why.
Because our way works great for us.
But it may not work for your clients. That's why Fisher Investments is a fiduciary obligated to put clients first. It's the highest standard for a financial advisor.
So, what do you provide? Cookie-cutter portfolios like the rest of us?
No cookie-cutter portfolios here. Fisher Investments tailors portfolios to meet each client's goals and needs.
But you do sell investments that earn you high commissions, right? And make commissions when you make trades for your clients?
No, Fisher Investments doesn't sell any commission investment products, and we never earn commissions on trades.
So what's in it for you?
Fisher Investments fees are structured so we do better when our clients do better. When it comes to helping clients achieve a comfortable retirement, we're clearly different. Visit FisherInvestments.com to find out why investors like you switch to us. Fisher Investments, clearly different money management.
Investments in securities involve the risk of loss.
Wouldn't it be great if everything came with more? Like if your new computer came with unlimited tech support? When you choose a Medicare plan from UnitedHealthcare, you get more. Like plans that have dental and vision coverage, plus hearing coverage. Call UnitedHealthcare at 1-800-364-1360 to get Medicare with more. Remember, Medicare annual enrollment ends December 7th.
Benefits and availability may vary by plan and location. More plans based on a year-over-year comparison of UnitedHealthcare plans.
Do one thing to protect the environment. It all starts with just one thing. Fall is the time for new clothing fashions, but the clothing industry is one of the harshest on the environment. Instead of buying new clothes, try something different. First, have a clear out of your old wardrobe, donating excess to charity. You may find a couple of great outfits you forgot about. And instead of buying new clothes, try swapping some clothes with a friend or shopping secondhand stores first. It all starts with one thing. Find tips and more at onethingus.com. What's your one thing?
On Twitter,
at Lou Merlone.
I obviously agree with Lou.
But what? I don't know what the hell I even said.
Back to OMF.
On WEEI.
Hey, Coach, you guys obviously been through a lot the last couple of weeks. You had Ferentz on Friday, three more Sunday morning. I think a lot of the Patriot fans were, you know, wondering if we were going to see this game on Sunday or not. But are you guys at the point where you're getting more comfortable, more knowledge about the virus, the contagious of how it can go through a team? You're getting more comfortable as a team, given what you've been through, to kind of play through it and be able to step on that field on Sunday?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I guess so.
Well, let me ask you what a lot of people are.
So which one was longer?
I will say this.
His or ours?
Did we just pause him
we
back?
We did. Touche, mofo.
I would say this, though. That's the type of question he usually, in the last few weeks, has gone into great detail, right?
I thought it was a softball.
Yes, he usually does. I think he's had it with COVID. I don't know if you guys got the same reaction I did. Enough of COVID. He wants to be a football coach again. He doesn't want to be a nurse or a doctor anymore.
Jeez. Yeah, but it is turned into, okay, we can do it also. We can do it also. You want to pause? We can pause. You want to pause? I can pause.
I thought it was kind of a get him talking about. Yeah, you know, we find out a lot more about the virus, Lou. You know, we've been through a lot.
I don't know. I mean, I guess so.
Yeah, I think that tells you right there. He's just sick and tired of it. It's like, this is not football for him. This is probably not fun.
So were you satisfied with the James White,
no,
why not go to replay question?
Listen, I people are like, go after him. I mean, because you could very easily say, well, I mean, what do you say? You can't challenge every play? I know, but just the
five,
ones that are wrong. You don't get five. I know, but you get three max, right?
Why are you holding on to him for?
Only if you get one right.
Well, he already got one right, didn't he? So, I mean, but he would have got this one
later,
but
did it not?
Well, he would have got this one. You're right. Got one later. So he had two at the time. But he would have got this one right. Am I wrong? Like, he would have got this one right.
Well,
so he still would have had two with 13 minutes to go. You're right. The Cam Newton one was later in the game, but you would have got it right.
Was it Trent Green that was doing the game? So I think he actually said they might not have overturned that. I think he said that.
Well, he said the spot was wrong, but it still might not have been good enough for a first down.
Exactly. That's what he said.
But do you agree?
It looked to me like he clearly got it because he did not touch the ground with any body part.
But it seems like he likes the sure thing. Or if it's not a sure thing, it needs to be our last resort. Because I would say, not having the numbers in front of me, I would say that his success rate is probably pretty high.
Right.
It's very, really high.
Just because he doesn't care. Because some coaches, I don't care what the rules say. Like, they completely disregard the rules and history of how the refs rule on these certain plays, that they just throw it anyways, and they pray and they hope.
So
they're usually wrong.
Maybe the message he got from Ernie Adams, and I would think Ernie Adams is the one that's still up there watching these things, might have said to him, I don't know about this one, Bill. Maybe.
Yeah, and he's got to have a quick. The other thing that, so I wanted an answer. I don't know, are you satisfied with the 2-point going for two answer?
Well, he gave the answer, but I still think, as you pointed out, that you still need two possessions to be able to do it. You had very few plays in the game. What day, 57 plays or whatever?
Well,
chances of two possessions to be able to do
what
it.
What was the game? You remember the game where they were down 8 and they scored the touchdown? They went for 2 to Gronk and they didn't get it. Was that Kansas City? There was a big game a couple years ago, whatever, when it happened. And I remember. So, I think Mikey Reese talked about some of that strategy as well. Like, you're down 15 points, so you can kick the field goal and be down 8. And then, with 4, 5, 6 minutes to go, you just sort of say, okay, we have one drive. We're going to milk the clock all. We'll get down there. We're going to score that touchdown with nothing left and then hope that we can, put a 2-point conversion together and tie the game. And I think that that's maybe an uncomfortable feeling. And probably the analytics would tell you, nope, find out right now. And your question about timing of the game, I think if there's 4 or 5 minutes to go, you do it.
You go for two.
You kick the field goal because you have one drive. You don't have much. But, with 8.5, 9 minutes to go, you think, okay, maybe we have two possessions. We can sneak 2 possessions left. So let's find out right now if we're going to be down 7 or we're going to be down 9 and need two scores.
To me, that's interesting, okay, because there's the chart, there's the analytics that
time
that
of the game
has
a lot to do with that.
Yeah, so do I, because everyone was like, oh, my God, no. But at the time, it's the fourth quarter, it's 18-9. An extra point makes it 18-10. And I also feel like, one, the time, and then I guess what you're willing to internally deal with as a coach. Hey, is my team better suited to come from behind? And am I a better coach when I'm manipulating the clock and then controlling everything on my own? Or would I rather just know my fate, go for it now, take my chance now when the circumstances aren't at the worst? Therefore, I risk maybe my team, putting their heads down, acting like the game's over. I feel like, because there really isn't, in this case, there isn't a wrong answer. I think you're right either way.
Well,
you want to kick the field goal? Kick the field goal.
I think if they scored that touchdown with 4 minutes to go, 4.5 minutes to go, I think you look at it and say, we only have one possession left. We better get this. We better just kick the field goal so we give ourselves a chance to at least maybe tie it with, 30 seconds to go in the game. But with 8.5 minutes to go, I think you could sit there and say, we have 2 possessions left. So let's find out right now how urgent we have to be.
I think that's it.
But I think the time of the game, 8.5 minutes to go versus, say, 4, 4.5. We have 2 possessions left. We have 1 possession left. And I think that was sort of the thought going through it.
Yeah, because he's not going to give away, after the game, it was obvious that, one, he was irritated, and two, he's not going to sit there and dissect his strategy, go over his thinking of things. Because the one thing he doesn't want to do is let the other team know, under any circumstances, what he likes to do in certain situations.
Exactly.
Now, you can go do your own homework, but if they ask you, hey, why'd you go for a 2? Well, you see, there was 8 minutes left on the clock, so we knew we had to do this. You're just giving the next team who has an analytical coach or a smart coach that's proactive, you're giving him an advantage because he already knows what you're going to do. So I think, obviously, for the reasons I see, I don't think he's reluctant to tell why he did something because he doesn't want to. He just doesn't want to give away trade secrets, I guess. He'll let you figure it out.
Well, the other one.
So he tells Glenn. Glenn asks him the question first. He's, oh, I wanted to get to 7.
Well, talking about trade secrets, I saw it today. Bruce Arians came out, and he was talking about Gronkowski. Did you guys see this? And he talks about Gronkowski. He says, well, the one thing, he wasn't able to spike the ball because he's got a hurt shoulder. Would you think Bill would ever say something like that? I mean, I think you're right,
Christian.
Spike
it with his left hand.
Yeah, he doesn't want to let anything known out there at all.
The other one, too, was because we asked him about the James White and the 2-point conversion. The other one was declining that penalty. Right? It was like third and four. They declined a penalty to make it fourth and four, and McManus hit a 54-yard field goal to go up 18-3. Right? So we're sitting there saying, well, you know, do you accept that penalty and make it third and nine? And that way, if they don't get it now, it's a 59-yard field goal, right? And now McManus, who knows? Maybe they try it and he hits it anyway. But, I mean, we understand, you know, third and nine, you can still get a first down and move the ball, right, and continue to drive. But, I don't know, defense, is that lack of confidence in your defense to stop the Denver Broncos on third and nine?
No,
and just
I think,
take the 54-yard field goal attempt?
No, at the time, I didn't think that was a big deal, Lou, because you're going to give up the three. And instead of that would have made it, what, 18 to 3 at the time. If you give up the touchdown, if you give them another opportunity and they were moving the ball, if you give them another opportunity and they get seven right there, game's over. It's done. Game's over. At 18-3, it's still somewhat manageable, right? It's two touchdowns and you're going to have to get a two-point conversion on one of them. That's what I think he was looking at, two scores versus if they get the touchdown, this game is over.
Well, it's
we're
still
done.
Two scores. Yeah, 15-3. Even if we stop them, they don't kick the field goal, we still need two scores. Down
right.
12.
Right.
So 12, 15, whatever. If they get the first down, it's more time off the clock. We're trailing. They could score a touchdown, and that game would be
I
over.
I think the clock dictated his decision.
Yes.
I think that's all there is to it.
And that's what I think happened on that two-point conversion. Again, I think they looked at how many possessions we have. And with 8.5, you could say we might be able to get two more.
Yeah.
So, you know, we get two possessions. If we are down nine, we have two possessions. And you saw they had a chance.
Which is crazy, too, because, okay, so I'm going to assume I have two possessions. Okay, so what if the first possession that the first opportunity you get, the first time you get the ball back, your first possession of the two that you think you're going to get, what if it takes you longer than you think to go down and score? I mean, or maybe you don't get far enough to even kick a field goal.
Or maybe you don't get points.
Yeah, so it is, I mean, I guess it's all, you know, you're all just, it's all risk adverse, obviously.
Well, there's a lot of bad things that could happen. Romeo Crennel tried to go for a two-point conversion yesterday, figuring he would seal off the game.
Right.
And it didn't work, and it actually backfired on him because Tennessee came back and scored. And with like 3.5 minutes left, Vrabel sent an extra player out on his defense as Houston was driving. And the player was dumbfounded. He was looking around. What am I doing out here? We got 12 guys. And then Vrabel started screaming to get the officials, the sideline judges' attention, screaming to his players to get off the field. He did it purposely. He wanted to stop the clock.
Right.
So he took a penalty with too many men on the field to stop the clock. It gave him an extra 40
or 50
seconds.
He's done that a couple times.
Yeah.
And, of course, they scored the tying touchdown with 7 seconds to go in the game.
Four seconds.
Well, whatever.
Left.
It was 7 when they made the play.
Yeah.
But still, yeah.
But he wouldn't have had that if he did not called
that penalty. That's
another loophole.
That's Vrabel. I tell you, he's sneaky, boy. He's breaking all the rules.
I'm telling you. If people, and we all, I think we both believe that. Vrabel played it off like it was a mistake.
But you can see, like Glenn said, he's got 12 guys in the field, and he's yelling at the official to get their attention to show them that he has 12 men in the field.
And then if you watch him,
I got 12 man, throw the flag.
He looks like
you got to give it to him.
Oh,
that was genius.
After they throw the flag, he plays it up like he's pissed at his guy.
Oh,
what
getting
are you
screwed.
Doing?
And then post game, he's like, we gotta clean it up. Way too many penalties.
I'll give him credit.
Yeah, it's good.
We asked the question on Friday: are the Patriots a playoff team? If you were one of those who said yes. Do you still believe that Sunday's loss?
We got a couple in this room.
All right, we're going to throw it out there. We'll throw it out coming up next. This hour's been brought to you by Kaplansky Insurance. More choices, more savings. Kaplansky.com at 617-779-7937.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.